So, Lara, can you tell my listeners a little bit about what's been going on at Techno Park Drive and where it is and what it is?
Yeah, sure. People have been living at Techno Park in Williamstown for many years, mostly in small brick units that were originally built to house migrants and refugees in the late 1960s. They're residential buildings here mostly that we live in. The area was zoned Industrial One in 1988, but Hobsons Bay City Council chose to accept residential use since then. The community here exists because the council chose to accept residential use for all that time. Residents here have built a life, made their homes, started families, and transformed Techno Park into a beautiful, green, and safe place. Many people have lived here for 10, 15, or 20 years, and it's really a wonderful, very special community.
Is it private rental or is it another sort of arrangement?
It's a combination. So everything here is privately owned. I own my unit with my partner. Some people here rent. We have one block in our street that the whole block is owned by one couple, and they have been renting out units to people who need housing for very little money for about 20 years. One of my neighbours who lives there, he told me his rent is $100 a week. He's been there 14 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. So obviously it is a community. What happened recently? What did the council do recently?
In May, the council sent notices to every address in the street that directed residents to cease living in their homes immediately and threatening legal action against us. The notice said that if you'll experience hardship, you have to make yourself known to the council individually, and they'll consider up to 6 months extension on your eviction. Residents who have done that have had vastly different experiences depending on who they are. One of my neighbors, he's a lawyer. He went, they said, "Oh, we're really sorry. It's terrible. There's nothing we can do, but we'll give you as much time as you need. We feel like jerks, you know." And another one of my neighbors, who's a renter here, who lived for 7.5 years in the Hobsons Bay Caravan Park, which was also on industrial land for more than 30 years. When she called the council immediately, as they requested, she was told, "You have to get out in 2 weeks." And then she was told, "Okay, we'll give you an extension. Now you've got 2 months." She said it was one of the most degrading experiences of her life.
So, even though people privately own these properties, and the council has allowed people to live there as residential area, why have they suddenly decided that you've all got to be evicted? How can they even do that?
So the area is zoned Industrial One. That means it's for storage and manufacturing that doesn't affect the safety of people or the environment. So, for example, in our street, as well as the housing, there's some storage. There's a boutique coffee machine maker. There are some offices. At the end of the street is the Corroy Creek and wetlands. So the council would say that you can still use your property if you wanted to, use it as a storage facility, for example.
Oh, I see. So, what's led them to this decision at this time?
We don't understand that. They had said to people who made contact, and they said in one of the letters to us that they were basically forced to do this because of the EPA and WorkSafe. Journalists since then have gone to the EPA and WorkSafe to ask for comment, and WorkSafe said they had nothing to do with it, that they didn't even hear about it until council notified them later. And the EPA, I understand, has said that they don't have any record of any communication about it at all.
So you and 50 people protested outside the meeting of Hobsons Bay Council last Tuesday. Can you tell me what the effect of that rally had on the council?
So there was a council meeting on Tuesday, and we'd put in a petition asking the council to withdraw the eviction notices and to commit to meeting with residents ahead of the next council meeting in a month to find a solution. They basically said no. They said people can call individually as they've been told already, and the council would refer them to services. We wonder what services. We're in a rental crisis and a cost of living crisis. The waitlist for public housing is more than 20 years. You know, people have lived here in residential buildings in safe and secure homes in a community they love for decades. So who does it benefit to displace all these people and family from their homes and dump them onto already overwhelmed services? Who does it benefit in our community to have a street full of abandoned homes? I would say the impact that the protest had is that it really showed residents who care very much for one another how far that care extends into the community beyond Technopark. The impact of the notice on the community here has been really severe. People are very distressed, you know, no one's sleeping, people aren't eating. They're really just full of fear for their future. And so it's just been really meaningful to see and feel for people here that we're not alone.
It sounds very strange to me. I mean, the sort of person I am, it makes me wonder if they have some lucrative offer for the land or something.
Yeah, I mean, many people have been asking that same question. I just don't know. I feel like, you know, we can speak to our own experience and what we do understand, but that's kind of a mystery to all of us.
Now, I mean, you've been residents there for a very long time. Why have your elected councillors not actually talked to you?
We've had one councillor. As soon as she learned about this, her name's Daria Kellender, as soon as she learned about what was happening to us, she called, she said, I support you 100%. And she's been absolutely consistent with that support since then. She tabled our petition and she's given us very kind of practical advice about how to, you know, how to write a strong petition, how to get it into the council. Yeah, so we have one person on council who has given us her total support.
Now, that sounds interesting to me in the sense that once she heard about it, it sounds like to me that the when you think about a council, you've got the elected councillors, but then you've also got the commercial, practical side of it with their CEO and all the rest of it. So you got the letter from whom? Which part of the council did you get the letter from?
From the planning department.
From the planning department. So it's the business side of the council that's done this. And you've got the impression that the elected councillors were unaware of this until it was tabled at council.
No, they were unaware of it when it first happened. And as soon as it happened, the community here made contact with the councillors. We've written to our local MP, Melissa Horn, who's also the Minister for Local Government. They were well aware by the time the council meeting came around.
Okay, and so what did the state representative have to say?
We have a meeting with her next week. We haven't heard yet from her directly.
This just seems amazing to me that they can, all you people are supposed to just go and find new places to live. And they're saying originally it was like in 2 weeks you need to get out and vacate your homes. It's so bizarre.
No, originally they said you have to leave today.
Really?
The notice said, I mean, I actually have... The notice here, it's not very the notice said you must cease residential use immediately.
My God, it sounds like they think the ground is contaminated, but people have been living there for over 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't said anything about the ground being contaminated.
I'm jumping to conclusion. It just sounds like, you know.
One thing they've said is that they believe it's dangerous for us to live here because we are adjacent to a mobile tank farm. The Age has reported that those tanks have been empty for years. There are mobile sites all over Hobson's Bay with homes directly next to them. The Gem Apartments, which are a new residential housing development in Williamstown on Point Gellibrand, are directly next to an active mobile terminal. They're in the same, it's what's called the inner advisory area of the terminal. It's exactly the same as we are here. That's an active site. These tanks are empty. On the other side of that tank, this tank farm here, there's a children's sport field that the council have just invested more than $4 million in upgrading.
So where do you go? I know you're going to talk to the state member, and obviously now the residents have decided that they're going to fight back.
Yeah, we're getting legal advice. We're getting legal advice about what to do next. We're really just trying to do our very best to care for the community here because the council have been so enormously reckless. To my mind, the council have endangered people's lives. They talk about their moral obligation to keep us safe. At the council meeting, and the mayor has repeated in press that this is why they could change their zoning to allow us to remain here as we have been for many years, but it would be impossible because they have to keep us safe from the empty tank farm next door. What did they think would happen when they sent 100 letters to people's homes telling them that they had to leave immediately or face legal action?
But just it doesn't
Hobson's
it,
Bay has
it doesn't even make they, sense.
No, they've endangered people's lives. They've endangered people's lives by telling them to leave their home when many people do not have safe alternatives. There are people who did leave immediately, and where did they go? We don't know. They've endangered people's lives by making threats against their home and security. I cannot believe that since everything was learned from RoboDebt, that any government wouldn't know that when you make threats against people's livelihoods, you threaten their lives.
I'm just gobsmacked. I find this absolutely amazing. Fact that this was built to house immigrants in the 1960s and were the mobile tanks there at that time and they built those flats beside there at the same time?
Yes. Yes, yeah. They were. The mobile tanks have been there, were there previously. This block actually was migrant hostel also before these units were built. Since 1949, there's been a community of people living here.
And I would hazard a guess that the council hasn't done any longitudinal studies into their health to be able to come up categorically with the fact that people who live in those areas are adversely affected.
There is no claim from the council that there are health consequences for living next to tanks. We're in what's called the inner advisory zone, and the way that that is defined is it means that there's a risk of one fatality that is greater than one in 10 million years.
All right. Now, the other thing that I've
so
done...
they're talking it so they're just talking about the risk of a major incident. They're not talking about long-term health risk. No one has ever said that. People live next to all this mobile infrastructure all over Hobson's Bay.
The other thing that's interesting in your release is that when people have rented there or you have bought there, none of the private real estate information actually told people about the industrial overlay.
I don't know that that's true, that none of it did. Certainly media have found, lots of examples of listings where it wasn't clear, places that advertised with bedrooms and showers, that obviously look residential, and in many of the listings it hasn't been clear. But I think, There are other things that convinced people that they could live here. Number one was that people had lived here for decades and there's a large community. Councils accepted payment for registration of pets at these addresses all over the years, the zoning says you can have a home office here without any permit, which is confusing because it also says you can't have accommodation, but I think many people interpreted that to mean accommodation like a hotel or something was not permitted because a home office is permitted, and obviously a home office is an office that you live in.
Yeah.
But I would say, one of my neighbours said the other day, John Link, who owns this whole block that he lets out to at very affordable prices to many people, he said the other day, we never even thought about the zoning. We just knew that people lived here in this street. We knew we had an empty building and we knew people needed homes.
Oh, goodness, Lara, it's so weird. It's so weird. Well, good luck with your fight. And what would you like people to do to support your fight?
Oh, thank you, Annie. We have an online petition that people can sign. We understand that that's actually really useful to show that there is broad public support for us and that people are watching what's happening here. If you sign it, you'll also get our updates. The website is www.change.org/techno-park. In the last 4 days, we have almost 900 people have signed that petition. So that would be really helpful if people can do that. And we can also keep people posted through that about other ways that they'll be able to help.
Thanks for talking to me, Lara.
Thank you so much, Annie.